Welcome again to Marin Covenant, everybody. My name is Ben Kearns. I'm one of the pastors here. And this is like my favorite Sunday. It's both Baptism Sunday and March Madness Sunday. It's like all the best things. And I don't know, are any of you March Madness people? Okay, Rudy's like, no, I like soccer. I get that. Here's the deal. I do not watch any basketball at all. However, I love March Madness and I love betting. And I don't know if any of you guys are bettors, but I'm all in with Michigan, and this is why. One of my favorite family friend's daughters goes to the University of Michigan, and so when I saw Michigan was ranked one, I'm like, I guess I'm all in. Now, for normal people, you'd be like, yes, that one seed, that family friend, I'm all in, away we go. But there's this weird thing for me, as much as I want to give my heart to March Madness, as much as I want to give my heart to the University of Michigan, I'm busy and I got stuff going on. And so there's this trick that I do that many of you do, which is when you take real money and you put it into a pool of other people who gave money with a chance to win real money, all of a sudden I care a ton, right? I'm watching the rankings. I'm wondering that there is a chance I could win. And what I've realized, maybe it's because of the nature of my life, maybe it's the nature of how my heart is, but I have found that I love to bet. I love making bets, and I'm not a gambler, but I love betting. I love finding ways to find community, to find people, to be in competition, and to put money down, and all of a sudden, I just care so much more, right? I'm all in with Michigan. I used to never care about how long the Star Spangled Banner is, but now I care so much how long the Star Spangled Banner is. I think of the what? Because there's odds. Did you know you can bet on how long the Star Spangled Banner is? And I bet on that. You may not realize this now. Daryl is a noble person. Daryl doesn't like to bet, but I even get him to bet on how many people are coming for Christmas. You know, Daryl and I, we sit and we do our analytics, we do all our chairs, and we think, how many people are gonna come at Christmas? And we bet, except he'll just bet lunch because that feels like less. But I'm all in. I'm invested. I want people to come to Christmas, but I'm all in because I have this bet with Daryl. And here's the best bet that I almost made. Jackie, Howard, and I, we always make bets because we want a chance to hang out, but we go, who's gonna pay? So we make these bets. And this was the last bet we almost made. When is Christy Noem getting fired? Is that awesome? Like, we made this bet. Like, when's she gonna get fired? Because we all knew she would. And we put dates down. And then whoever wins, you know, you get it. I know, that's my world. But the reason why I tell you that is because we're going through the Sermon on the Mount right now. And when I read through the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says this one statement that I think is the truest statement. Now, everything Jesus says is true, but this is one of those things that Jesus says that I have found to be viscerally true. It is true in my guts. It's true in how the world works. It is truth with the capital T. It could be in Proverbs all day, every day. And we're going to take a look at that passage of scripture right now. So if you have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 6 as we meander our way through the Sermon on the Mount. And we're going to take a look at this very clear, encouraging, I think, and challenging teaching from Jesus. It says here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, it says this: do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. That sounds like very Jesus-y. Like, that sounds great, right? We should invest in the heavenly things, not on earthly things. Earthly things will go away and be destroyed. Heavenly things will stay there forever. But then Jesus says this: for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And that verse I found to be true for every human being on the planet. Wherever you invest your money, for whatever reason, it's always money. I wish it was like, it does help wherever we invest our time, wherever we invest our talents, those things matter too. But there's this weird thing, wherever we invest our money, our heart is naturally drawn there. And sometimes it'd be nice to be the other way around. Our heart is so drawn somewhere. And so therefore, all of our money and all of our actions would follow. But we're just broken down human beings. So wherever our heart, wherever our treasure is, wherever our money is, that is where our hearts go. And because, I don't know about you, but I mean, we live in Marin and we have jobs. Most of us have full-time jobs and full-time mortgages and full-time rents. And, you know, and so because so much of our time and energy is spent making money and spending money on ourselves, it just makes sense that our heart is all centered around ourselves. As much as we long to be about bigger things, we're just naturally self-absorbed, self-obsessed people. And you think of all the things that we worry about are ourselves. In fact, I had this really challenging discipline in my journal. I was looking back over my journals and I realized without fail for the last almost year, I'd start my journal with, these are all the things I'm worried about in my family. These are all things I'm worried about at church. These are all the things. And it was just like all these worries, 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 worries. And then like 2/3 of the way down, I was like, oh, Jesus. Oh, yeah, I love you. I want to be with you. I want to know you. And I was like, but it was like the very end of my, and by the time I was done with my page, that's how I knew my journaling time was over. And so I had to actually stop and go, I need to flip this around. I need to move my heart up, right? But I think we just need to own that. We're just naturally selfish people. We're naturally self-absorbed people. Jesus goes on in the Sermon on the Mount that talks about our eye is the lamp to our inner being. It's the lens in which we see the world. And so if we're only seeing the world through our own envy and our own scarcity, our inner life just crumbles. And this is not, this is a passage about money, but this is a passage about the kingdom of God, about the upside down kingdom. This is an invitation to be about God's world, God's kingdom, God's people. And the challenge is, as much as in our head we want that to be the case, I think most of us in neutral, we just can't get over ourselves. We're too worried. We have too much scarcity. We're too worried to give our heart to somebody who's not going to give their heart back to us. We're too worried to invest our time with somebody and we're not sure if it's going to work out because we only have such limited time. We're so worried to give our money to something or to someone because we have such little of it. We have to only give it to the things that matter. We have to give our hearts only to the people that matter. We have to give our time and to only the people that matter. But the kingdom of God isn't like that. The kingdom of God is this upside down kingdom. And so I just want to share with you one quick story and then an invitation. So, excuse me one second. So I, and a couple of us actually, we got the pleasure of going to this International Justice Mission fundraiser last week. And these guys are incredible. International Justice Mission is, I think, one of the most incredible organizations, and they are spending millions of dollars, tons of hours, to eradicate human trafficking. And they're not just going, it'd be great to eradicate human trafficking. They're not just going into communities and rescuing a couple people. They're trying to find, how do we systematically end human trafficking? And what they realize is they are, instead of just going in and rescuing people, which needs to be done and is part of their ministry, they are going in and changing municipalities. They are changing the laws. They are changing governments. And they've been working at this for forever and ever. And they come up with this plan. And there's this, Gary Haugman, the president, he showed these pictures of these sequoia trees. And I kind of got lost because God was doing something unique in me. But this is how I interpreted what was happening. International Justice Mission is this sequoia tree of a ministry. And he showed this picture of him back in 1997, looking like a total 1997 person with a Windows Macintosh or Windows old school computer. And that was the beginning of his ministry. And 30 years later, it went from him in his office to this giant organization that is eradicating human trafficking all over the world. And we went to this fundraiser. And why we were invited, I don't know, because they were raising $750 million. $750 million. I'm like, Jeff, why are we here? You know, it's like, I love you guys. You know, Steph, that's so much money. That's so many zeros. And these guys were like, yeah, we're doing it. There was no flinching. There was no pause about the commas. They're like, we are going to raise this thing. And they have, and they could do it with such confidence because they're like, listen, we have tried this out in 9 different municipalities. And every time we have come in and brought this system that we've tried, it is tried and true. Human trafficking has gone down from 50% to 85%. And we know exactly how much it costs. And they said, if we raise $750 million, what that means is 1 million people will be freed from human trafficking and 300 million people's lives will be better because of those municipalities. And you're like, this is awesome. Here's my $5, right? And I was looking around this room and this room is all these sequoias, like the sequoia tree of International Justice Mission and these sequoia trees of people who have make so much money that I could never understand and who are like, God has done these things in them and they've grown in their generosity. And they're like, you know, we are going to partner in this thing. And they're 40% of the way of $750 million. It was so inspiring. And as that was happening, this is what God I feel like God spoke to me. He said, those sequoia trees are awesome. And if I only have a little bit of money, if I only have a little bit of time, I have to go and invest in the things that are working, that are tried and true. And of course, I'm going to give it to International Justice Mission because I only have a limited amount of money, so I'm going to give it to the thing that I know is working and is faithful. But here's the wild thing. Sequoia trees didn't start out as sequoia trees, right? We were given these little things. A sequoia tree seed. Tiny. Insignificant. Most of them aren't even ever going to make it. And what I thought about, and this is what God impressed on me, and this is like, it made me just fall in love with our church all over again. Because our church, our unique ministry, as much as I would love that, we are the sequoia trees of the world. Our church, our ministry is actually, we are the caretakers of the seeds. God is doing something so beautiful and unique in Marin County. God is doing something so beautiful and unique among our students and among spiritually hungry people. And all of these little tiny seeds that are insignificant in the big bad world and are not going to change the world because we only see them as seeds. Everywhere else they're just treated as seeds and we don't have time for them. But here at Marin Covenant Church, our ministry is to go, this seed is going to be a sequoia one day. Genesis is going to be a sequoia one day. Right? We're going to be like, it feels futile with all the limited amount of time and money and resources to be like, we're going to be all in with Genesis because we should be all in with IGM because they're crushing it. But we're taking this risk because God has given our church the ministry of caring for the seeds. And what's so hard is it is a discipline, because as much as right now we hear those stories and our hearts just blow up, we're like, yes, I want to be all in with Genesis and Amy and Justine, right? And Eden. I forget, sorry, Parker, now did I forget somebody? Shoot. Wait. Celeste, gotcha. So we want to be all in with the seeds. And while our heart right now wants that to be the case, the very true teaching of Jesus is like, the very pragmatic thing is you need to put your time and your treasures and your resources into them. And really pragmatically, when we put our money and we invest in those people, we invest in this place, all of a sudden we care. The people who give the most money to our church, they care about all the things. Like, I've never even thought about how our staff functions. This is great. But when you start giving money, you're like, how does your staff function, right? It's a thing. And so there's this very interesting invitation that God is inviting, I think, our church to, is to be people that are invested in the ministry of, I think, here at Marin Covenant, but really into the kingdom of God. Because we are the caretakers of the seeds. And we have faith and hope that these seeds are going to one day grow up and be these mighty sequoias. And this is what I love about the ministry of our church. The nature of Marin is so transient that 95% of every single person that comes up here and is baptized is going to move on someday and be planted somewhere else. But they're going to do something incredible for the kingdom of God. And we will have been part of that caretaking story. Okay, so here's the last thing I want to share as I'm wrapping up. So if in the very beginning of our journey, we have very limited time, money, and space to give of ourselves. And so we want to be invested in the kingdom of God. So we want to invest in a sure thing. So I think, right, IJM, it's a sure thing. You can trust that IJM, when you're giving your time and resources, that is going to be used. That sequoia tree is going to be crushing. Good job. I actually think even Marin Covenant, we're a pretty good sure thing. If you give money to our church, if you're invested in the life of our church, man, I hope that you're seeing the fruit of things that are happening, and it is pretty great what's happening here. But I think the graduate level invitation from Jesus is that we would be people that would be sold out for the seeds. Even for the seeds that we don't see, the foolish things. The foolish things that we don't understand, because we are invited into serving and caring for and nurturing the upside down kingdom. And that is what we're tasked to do. And we know that's a challenge. And I'm convicted as all get out this morning, because I have very limited time, very limited resources, and I got to make sure I'm investing in the true things. But that's not what Jesus teaches. The very beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, right? Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Oh, man. Yeah, thank you. Blessed are the merciful, right? For they will be shown mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted because of their righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of God. The Beatitudes, I think, are the true seeds. When we come across people who are hungering and thirsting for righteousness, when we come across people who are merciful, when we come across the poor and those who are mourning and those who are brokenhearted, and we think we are called to invest in them, boy, that feels like such a risky investment. But the kingdom of God, it's all okay. But the kingdom of God is to invest in those seeds, because those seeds will be sequoias. And what's so great about investing in the kingdom of God is that we don't know if those sequoias we're going to see on this side of eternity or not, but there will be a day when all of us are in heaven, we're all sitting around as a great cloud of witnesses, and we are going to high-five each other for all the invested ways that we have seen people, these seeds grow to fruition. And we'll be so surprised and so encouraged the way these seeds will one day be sequoias, all in the big, bad kingdom of God. And so that's our simple invitation this morning, is that you would recognize that God wants you to be part of the kingdom of God. And not just to be part of it, but to be investors in it, to be people who are sold out, to give your heart, to give your resources, to give your time, to give your treasures for those seeds. The seeds that were up here, the other seeds that are around happening in the life of our church, for the spiritually hungry people who are brand new in their walk with Jesus, that we would make space for them. And even more so, that we would have eyes to see people who are not even part of our church, but the people who are poor and marginalized, who are broken down, who are mourning, who are hungering and thirsting for righteousness. We would see them, we would invest in them. And together we would celebrate that those seeds one day will be mighty sequoias for the glory of God. I'm gonna invite the band up. Let me pray for us and we'll wrap up our morning. Jesus, I'm so grateful for how patient you are with me, how generous you are with us. For we recognize that we would not be even sitting in this room this morning if it wasn't for the incredible investment of other people who have made those investments in our lives. Real life people who gave up their time and their treasures and their talents so that we would have space, so that we could figure out what it means to know you and to love you. And we have seen the way that you have molded us and shaped us and healed us and transformed us. And I just pray, God, as you continue to mature us on this journey of faith, God, that we would be people that would be sold out for your kingdom. That we wouldn't have such scarcity, but we'd recognize that you are a good father who gives us so many blessings, and that we would be generous people, and we would give all of who we are to these seeds in faith, trusting that you will cause these seeds to grow and to be gigantic sequoia trees for your kingdom, and your kingdom will advance in incredible ways that will give you honor and glory both now and forevermore. May the church say amen and amen. Let's stand together and worship.